Try to finish this tonight on Baptist evangelism in the book of Acts. Acts 19 and verse 10. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. You know what? Okay, back up one verse. Verse 9. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks, and God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul. Now, after the Jews in the synagogue at Ephesus hardened their hearts, Paul separated himself and started preaching in the school of Tyrannus. So he took the gospel to a schoolhouse. And what he did is he disputed with those who would come, and he did this for 2 years. Now, a school seems to be an unorthodox place to preach the gospel, but really, when you think about it, it's an ideal place. Because people are coming there for the express purpose of learning. And many people throughout the region there that dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus. There were people that were being saved while he preached and taught in the school of Tyrannus. You know, in the early days of America, I am sure that many students were converted and were saved under the ministry of faithful teachers who shared the gospel. God, the Bible, prayer, one time, all those things were venerated and held high in our schools. Now, they've been thrown out over the past 50 years, but I do believe that there are Christian school teachers whose lives can have an impact on students. Sister Hamlin was telling me just this past Sunday how that God gave her an opportunity to share Christ with her class, and that most of the kids there had never even darkened a church door. They had no frame of reference. And we're talking about in West Virginia, a place where you think people still go to church. But we need to pray that God would raise up Christian teachers who will be effective witnesses for Christ in the schools of America. And I know that there's been times where I've had opportunities at Chesapeake to share the Word of God and to share my testimony and the gospel. And I think anytime that you're afforded that opportunity as a preacher of the gospel, you ought to do it. Now, they also preached, look at Acts chapter 20, they preached to an assembly of believers. Now, I'm not going to get into this. I don't think this was an organized church at this point. But they did, because there's no record of a church being at Troas, but there were believers there. Now notice what it says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Verse 11, just to show you, I don't think this was the Lord's Supper. There's no reference to it. It said, when he therefore was come up again, and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till the break of day, so he departed. They were actually eating a meal. And so The reason why I bring that out is because I don't believe this is a proof text at all for open communion. Okay? So with that out of the way, there's some controversy as to whether or not there was an organized church in the city of Troas. I personally do not believe that there was one. But one thing we know for sure is that there were a group of disciples that had gathered to share a meal, and they also wanted to hear the Word of God preached on the Lord's Day. This really is one of the closest things that probably resembles something of our church, our assembly. They met together for the express purpose on the Lord's Day to hear the Word of God. The reason why I say this is because public worship, preaching on the Lord's Day, is absolutely vital wherever you're at. Paul happened to be at Troas. He learned of these believers. He went there and he preached the word of the living God to those disciples. For those who preach the word of God, we need to seize the opportunity to preach truth to our hearers wherever we go, wherever we're at. So many preachers in our day are turning away from preaching to God's people and instead are trying to entertain them with stories and jokes and singing and just a lot of entertainment rather than preaching the truth of the Word of the living God. We have to preach the Word on the Lord's Day. We must strive to feed God's people the precious truths of the Word. Let us remember that we're not to confine our pulpits, though, or our witness merely to the assembly of believers. We've got to take the truth outside of these four walls to people where they're at. I've got a little series I'm working on right now. I'm writing it into an article too on how to come to the house of God. I got really convicted. I was at a Bible conference April 27th at Lily Valley Baptist Church, and a brother Jeff Arthur from West Virginia preached. His topic was how that your heart should be a gift unto the Lord, and he was talking about being prepared for worship. And man, it really just, it went all over me, and I thought, I'm going to preach on this. Well, I thought I was just going to preach one message, but now it looks like at least three. But I think it, as I've studied this and prayed about it and meditated upon it, it is so vital that we actually engage when we come to the house of God. To get our mind and our heart, our emotions, our desires, our motives, get everything focused on worshiping the Lord and exalting Him and receiving the truth and wanting to be instructed and being attentive. So it's going to be a barn burner if the Lord lets me bring it like I want to. Now, chapter 20, verse 20 and 21. Let's read verse 19. Here's a testimony of a faithful man of God. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. The Baptists preached house to house. We also saw that in Acts chapter 5. Daily and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Now, every Baptist preacher would certainly claim spiritual kinship to Paul, to his gospel, and to his doctrines. But I wonder how many Baptist preachers today are willing to go house to house in our communities sharing the gospel of the grace of God, testifying to the Jews and the Greeks repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder how many people are actually doing that. How many Baptist preachers they'll stand in the pulpit and they'll be as strong as they can be about the truth about the Lord's church and how Baptists have a holy succession from the apostles and Jesus up to this present day, and people will shout amen. But those very preachers never go outside the four walls of their building and go to their community, to where sinners are, to where people are, and share the gospel with them. It's a crime. It's a sin that Baptist preachers are going to have to answer for. When I was first saved, at the tender age of 21, I was taught the importance of house-to-house evangelism and visitation by my pastor. How do we ever expect to fill our cities with our doctrine and preach the gospel to every creature unless we actually go to where they live? You know, we complain that people don't come to church like they used to, but what we need to do is take the gospel to sinners where they are, with a burden to see them saved. Fortunately, every church that I've ever been a member of has always had some form of a visitation program. We have systematically, at Mount Pleasant, we have systematically knocked on every door in our immediate area here, Buffalo Creek and the little Jags off this holler. We have knocked on every door in Chesapeake proper, in Brentwood Village, in South Point proper, and all the streets around there. We've gone back in some of these other areas, in some places where I don't know if anybody ever goes. But we are responsible. You say, well, how many times are you going to do it? Who cares? That's not my concern. Our concern is we keep going until the Lord comes. Now, I haven't seen a lot of results. I'll be the first to admit to you. But I'm not one of these guys that goes out and tries to get people to bow their head and repeat a prayer and come back and say we got this many professions and souls saved. I don't believe in that, because I believe God has to do the work. But I believe it's our responsibility to go to where they are. If nothing else, at least introduce yourself. Put a tract in their hand. Share the gospel with them. You don't know what the Lord will do with it. But I pray that many of our landmark churches that are dying would get stirred up and would go out and begin to share the gospel with people. Our Baptist preachers and church members need to stop worrying about somebody calling them an Arminian and go outside of the four walls of the church house and take the gospel to where they are. If you say that you're a Baptist and you don't do that, you're a hypocrite. That's what they did. Now, they also preached before kings and in the governor's palace. Acts chapter 24. in verse 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him, whereof he sent for him the oftener and commune with him. Now, look at chapter 26 and verse 1. Now, when Festus was come into the province, after 3 days he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. That's chapter 26. Look at 26. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." Then Paul stretched forth a hand and answered for himself. Verse 28, then Agrippa, after he got done with his speech, then Agrippa said unto Paul, oh, this thing fell on the floor. That's what that sound was. I got a little stirred up there for a minute, I guess. Without a tie, I can't really keep this thing on good. All right, verse 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Most thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Now, in both of these passages that we read, Paul is found before politicians and government leaders. Paul actually took his pulpit, if you will, to the governor's palace and to the king himself. He was not afraid, but rather boldly proclaimed Christ to these politicians. He did not dilute his message or mince his words with these important men. And I pray that we would be more concerned about our political leaders. That we would pray that God would send somebody to actually preach the gospel to those men. That's one reason why, I tell you what, my heart was so cheered when I saw Vice President Pence during those debates a couple of years ago actually share Jesus Christ through his testimony. It was powerful. Now I know he's got to have some kind of influence on President Trump, on those in the cabinet. And our politicians need it. I think it was last week, they had a Muslim pray in the House of Representatives. That's an abomination. That shouldn't happen in our country. All right, chapter 28. We're going to be done here in a minute. In verse 30. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Here you are at the end of the book of Acts. After all of Paul's missionary journeys, persecutions, false accusations, beatings, shipwrecks, and imprisonments. You'd think that towards the end of his ministry, he'd just kind of retire and take it easy. But it's not the case. Here we find that he rented his own hired house and preached the gospel to people who came to see him for 2 entire years. His life illustrates that no matter what our past accomplishments are in the service of the Lord, we are to never retire from preaching the gospel. He also illustrates that we're to use all of our own resources, if we can, as outposts for the gospel of Christ. May God convict us to teach and preach the Word of God to those that live within our homes, as well as those that come to visit us. May our houses be places of a godly testimony for the gospel of Christ. Now, as we've skimmed through the book of Acts, what's the one thing that seemed to stand out when we talked about Baptist evangelism in the book of Acts? Everywhere they were, everywhere they went, they shared the gospel. The death, the burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? They did it without any tricks. They did it without any psychology, without any incentives. You know, they didn't bribe anybody. They didn't try to reach people with, they didn't have Clown Day. They didn't have King's Island Day. They didn't start a ball team to hopefully get some people interested in the, no, you know what? They just preached the gospel. They just talked to people about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they didn't confine that message to a building, to a church house. They took the gospel with them wherever they went, no matter what the circumstances. And they were persecuted severely. They met with opposition wherever they went. Yet they never stopped. And I believe what the foundation that was laid in the early days of Christianity, we're still reaping the fruits and the benefits of it today, 2,000 years later. The original Baptists did not use any gimmicks or worldly means to try to entice sinners to be saved. They just simply went to where they were. They preached against their sins. They pronounced them guilty by the authority of God's Word, warned them of the judgment to come, and preached the gospel of Christ as the only means of salvation. And I hope that we, as a New Testament Baptist church, will continue following their example. All right.